Now, we talk about Jesus. Of course, we're celebrating his birth, and that's a wonderful thing. But we have been celebrating his birth now all month. We will continue to do that. Last week, we did beautiful carols, and that service was just so special. But all of the services have been special this month. But today, I want to celebrate his birthday. Okay, he's not a baby anymore. He's like really a man. He's like 2,000 years old. He's really old, or 7,000 or millions. You know, he's the wisdom of God. It says in Proverbs 8 and 9 that I was there before he set the pillars of the earth. He says, I was there with him before he made the heavens and the earth. I was there before he set the stars in space. So I think it would be very appropriate if we sing happy birthday to him. I know we have this horrible little birthday cake. Sarah calls me on the phone and says, Mom, did you know there's a plastic birthday cake on the platform? Yeah, I put it there. Well, I didn't, but. And we thought it had three candles. That was going to be perfect for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's a fourth one, so I guess that can represent you. All right, you guys, do you know happy birthday?
Yeah.
All right. Lynn, lead us. Okay, Sarah, lead us. Come on.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you.
Our Lord and Savior. Amen. Turn around and shake a couple of hands and say, I'm glad you're here at Landmark today. Welcome to Landmark. Also, tell them Happy Christmas Eve. Happy Christmas Eve to all of you. God bless you all. Thank you so much. Woo, bless the Lord. All right, you can be seated. I want to take you right into the story. And I know this is going to minister to you because it's where we all are at certain times in our lives. And if you're not here, you will be or you have been. So I want you to go, if you're looking in your Bible or above, I'm reading, always reading from the New King James Version, so we can all stay on the same page. But go to Luke chapter 1, and this is going to take a real negative slant at first, okay? And I would just say that because sometimes life has a negative slant to it, in fact, most of the time. If you don't focus and keep your eyes focused on what's above, as Colossians, the third chapter says, and you set your affection and you set your attention on things below, then that will mess with us. So that's why Paul said, you better keep your attention focused here so it doesn't get down here, because this can be real messy. Okay, this is a real stable down here sometimes. In fact, what you and I just saw on the screen with New York, oh my goodness, that gives us hope, America. That gives us hope because America just, you know, what do we hear about America? Oh, it's going to hell in a handbasket. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's still a godly nation. You say, no, it is. Oh, yes, it is. A lot of Christians and intercessors still live in America and around the world. Well, let me show you the scripture here. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now the angel is coming with an announcement to this little girl. Now, the Bible prophesied that Jesus himself would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. But watch what the angel does here. Luke 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, calls that angel by name, was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now Gabriel was God's messenger. He told Joseph when he said, you and Mary are going to have a baby. He told him, he said, I stand in front of God. I am his messenger. I'm sent from God. So the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, among the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with the Lord, or with God. Verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, and you shall call his name. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. That's King David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And to his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said, well, how can this be? To the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, that's just too good to be true. Okay, to normal people on this earth, this doesn't happen. So let me take you back up to the top. Number one, the Bible says, now see, in verse 26, it says the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth. All right, let me tell you this. Nazareth was a wrong town. Somebody say, wrong town?
Wrong town.
Okay, this is not where the baby was going to be born. So why would Gabriel go down to a town to find a certain woman? Well, look at the woman, verse 27. And he went to a virgin who was betrothed or engaged to this man. Somebody say, wrong woman. Okay, you don't go to a virgin who is not married and tell her, oh, you're going to have this baby. Okay, so everything's wrong so far. Wrong town. Wrong woman. And then he tells her, oh, you are favored among women. She's not a woman. She's a little girl. She's either, some say 14, some say 16. She's just a very young girl. And so now it's, say, wrong age. You got the wrong town. You have the wrong woman. And everything is just not adding up. And the angel gave her all of this information. I mean, you can believe angels. And he said, Mary, to this little young sweet girl, you have found favor with God. And she's like, what? Because she knew much more seasoned adults. Christian people like her Aunt Elizabeth and probably her mother and grandmother. Angie asked me one time when she was very young, Nana, what was Mary's mother's name? I said, honey, I don't know what her mother's name was. It doesn't mention her mother or her grandma at all. So now she's like, I've got favor. Why in the world would he favor me? Let me just go back now a little bit. We are in this house today as men and women of God. And you and I have dreams. And we have visions. And And some of your thoughts are so huge, and some of your callings are like way out there. Can I ask you, why in the world would God come to Porterville and find somebody, or to Springville, to represent a certain area in Washington, D.C.? No, Lord, I've never been in politics, the sheriff might say. Why would you come up here and find me and send me there? See, you and I have absolutely no idea what God has ordered for our lives. I mean, it's just some really huge things for this time and this era. And the good news is, he is going to use you and take you into some places that we never dreamed of going. In the last days, strange things happen. And this is the second millennia for Jesus. I mean, he came down on earth, and I would say maybe, just maybe, this place in Bethlehem, Judea. Now, I don't know that there was ever any sad times in heaven, places where anyone, there was no tears in heaven. But I'm wondering if when the angel made that announcement that you saw on the screen, we just read it in the Bible, when Gabriel came and told Mary, and now it's all happening, I just wonder if this happy, happy place was a very sad place in heaven for a few people that thought, he's gone. How could he leave this fortune that he has in heaven? The Bible said he was very rich, but he came poor. And then it tells us why he became poor. You know why he became poor? So that we could become rich. He lost his life so you and I could gain eternal life. And so the whole thing seems just absolutely crazy. But I want to tell you, that dream that is in you, don't ever let go of that dream. Because if he knew where Mary lived, he knew she wasn't married. He knew that many would talk about her. They weren't married in that day. You just didn't get pregnant not to be married. I mean, you just didn't. I mean, they'd almost stone you to death for that. And now he goes down at the wrong time, the wrong place. And I would venture to say that right now, well, it's just statistics and a crowd this size. There's people here, and you feel like you're in a messy stable. I mean, you know what's in stables. You know what's in a manger area. There's animals all around, and it just makes a big mess everywhere. So your life may feel real messy all around it. But I wonder if on their way to give birth, on their way, see, God told her, you saw it, you just heard it, you just read it. He says, Mary, you're going to give birth to this baby, and this thing, he even called it a thing, the baby. He says, this thing that is within you, you conceived by the Holy Spirit. What? Oh, yeah, try telling your boyfriend that. Oh, what? You're pregnant? What? Oh, no. The angel told me that I had conceived by God. Oh, yeah. Okay, so the whole story is just messed up from the floor up. So I wonder, here they're going. Now she knows that she is going to give birth to not just any baby. He's the Son of God. Okay, so that's another thing. That's just absolutely outlandish. I'm just a normal 14-year-old, and I'm going to carry within my body the Son of God. Are you kidding, God? But she said, be it unto me, Lord, as you have said. And I'm not going to take time to read it, but the Bible says she magnified the Lord. She honored him. Let me tell you guys something. If this had never happened, there would be no Christmas. And where would we be without Christmas? We would have no grace. We would have no mercy. We would have no peace. We would not have eternal life. And I'll tell you this today, folks. We would have absolutely no hope. I mean, you wouldn't know life as it is right now. You just wouldn't, because there would be no hope. There would be no beautiful family life and no beautiful life as you know it. Well, on your way, he says, now, see, here's another thing that got all messed up. See, sometimes when your miracle comes, it's the wrong time and the wrong place, and you just don't have time to make it happen then. Nothing's right in your life. Maybe you don't have the money for it. Maybe you don't live in the right time at the right place. And now, Caesar Augustus passes this law that says, now you all have to come to Jerusalem and pay your taxes. Oh, shoot. Now I've got to ride this donkey, and I'm 9 months, or 8 months, or whatever she was. Now I've got to ride this thing all the way down into Jerusalem. It's a long ways, maybe 4 hours. I don't know how long by donkey. But when they finally get there, okay, things are starting to happen in her tummy. Oh, you'll feel it, Micah. You will know when it's time. Thank God it won't be like this, but you'll know when it's time. Okay, so they're approaching. Things are looking pretty good. Okay, she's thinking, okay, the angel said that he would take the throne of his father, King David. Now, he wasn't his immediate father, you know, but he came down through that generation or that lineage of King David. So she's thinking, okay, he's a king. I'm giving birth to a king. So I would say, you know how we make things up in our mind? God, I would say, because I'm giving birth to the Son of God, the King, you probably have a big, you know, a palace or a castle or something all prepared for us. And we're going to get there. And they will treat us like the mother and father of our Lord. And it's going to be beautiful. They get there and, man, everybody's busy. It's hurry, scurry, and everybody's getting there, and they go from room to room, from house to house, or the little cave to cave, a little lean-to to a little lean-to. Do you have any room? Oh, no, there's no room. They had no room. They pass even nice hotels for that time. They have to pass a hotel, pass up good things, It looked like God would have had a place set for them. But it just didn't pan out. Sometimes things just don't work the way you think they're going to work. But there's another force that wants to take you out and prevent you from coming to know Him. He is your Savior, and He is your Lord, and He makes it all happen. So they pass a beautiful room to stay, and I'm sure they can just imagine, ooh, that comfortable bed. Ooh, I'll just get off this donkey, and maybe we can get some food in the restaurant. But where do they go? Oh, there's a little, they call it a manger, but it was nothing more than a cave where animals stayed and got out of the weather and ate. Well, there they go. They pass all the good places. The other people, normal people, had their place. Now, Mary could have kicked up her heels. And Joseph said, hey, don't you know who we are? Why would you treat us like this? My little wife, I mean, an angel of God that stands in His presence, came and told her what's going to happen. Don't you know? And they wound up right here. Here's this little baby. Oh, my goodness. It just, nothing looks right. Nothing. Now, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, prophesied about 1,000 years before. He said, one day, this will be a sign given to you. You will find a little babe. See, God knows every single detail. He said, you'll find a little baby lying in a manger, and he will be wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's the clothes I want him to wear. And he will be wrapped in swaddling clothes. I know I've told you this over the years, probably 2 or 3 times, but I'm going to repeat it today. The shepherds of that day, they raised baby lambs. And the baby lambs, they raised these baby lambs for sacrifice to offer up to God. And people would come and buy these little baby lambs, and they would offer them as a sacrifice. But the shepherds had to keep that baby lamb totally wrapped up, swaddled up, and it wrapped that little lamb in swaddling clothes. Why did it wrap it in a swaddling cloth? Because that little lamb had to be perfect. It could not have a sore. It couldn't have any kind of flaw on this little lamb because it was going to be offered up to God. So they would wrap it in swaddling clothes and make sure that it was protected. Okay. You say, well, how does that fit in? I would say when those shepherds got there and they saw this baby wrapped in the swaddling cloth, they're like, oh my goodness. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and he has to be perfect. Exodus chapter 12 says he would be without blemish. He would be without fault. Jesus was absolutely perfect. And yet he took all of our filthy sins, all of our evil sicknesses, all of our messed up ways on him at the cross. And I know we're not talking about the cross today, but I just wanted to say he was perfect. And that's another sign, a type or a shadow. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in that manger. In these, he had to be wrapped in this. John says he is the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. So he was wrapped in the glory of God. Number two, let me give this to you, and you've heard this too over the years. This was also, in the Bible days, it was called milk rag. Because the old dairy farmers and those that raised their cattle or the cows for milk, they had to make sure that the udder of the cow was clean. Because when the milk was in the udder, it was whole and it was pure and it was perfect milk. But when it came out, if it had any dirt at all around the udder, then it could contaminate. So they would wash the udder and dry it with this kind of cloth, a swaddling cloth. This is why this is called a milk rag. So let me tell you something else amazing. Paul said, take this, and the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible, John said, the Word of God is Jesus. He is the Word. He is the Word. But he told us, take the milk of the Word. So when you read this, you get the milk of the Word, and we wrap this around us. Remember the song Lindell used to always sing? Surround me, oh Lord. Sing it with me, guys. You don't have to play it. Surround me, oh Lord. Sing, church. Surround me, oh Lord. Let your presence fill this
this place.
Okay, he surrounds us like that, you guys. You're not left out here all by yourself. We're surrounded with swaddling clothes. You say, I need a milk rag to clean me up. Well, you have one. You have a perfect lamb. You say, I'll never be perfect. Oh, no, no. He's wrapped you up. You're wrapped. You're wrapped. Well, I'll put this baby back. And this is why we get to do this, take communion. This is communion. Without Christmas, there would be no communion. All right, let me go on and I'll let you go. Parker said, Nana, don't tell us you're going to let us go and then talk some more. All right, so I won't. I won't say that again. Unless I do. Okay, so now we got the wow after we got the wrong, 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 wrong. So I want to tell you, you may have had some wrongs. Right now, you feel like whatever's happening in your life, some of you, it's the wrong time, the wrong place. Some of you are like, oh man, the wow has come. I'm here, Lord. This is a wow. One more reading. I want to show you how it happened. Take me to Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in what days? Are you reading it with me? Chapter 2, verse 1, Luke. And it came to pass when? Okay. You and me. We have some those days. They're upon it. And so you all, you keep looking for those days. So, in those days, for these guys, and for you, and for me, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar that all the earth shall be taxed. Look, I already gave you that. Verse 4. So Joseph also went up from Galilee, look, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was a house of the lineage of David. God knew just who to choose to be her boyfriend and husband, because he also was in the lineage of David, to be registered with his wife, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Verse 6. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed. The days were completed. Say, completed. See, there comes a time when we're in a testing that the days are completed. It's over. God says, you're testing. This test, it's completed. That's a good thing. So those days were completed for her to be delivered. We all have different deliveries. We all have different babies to birth. Yours may be on your job. Yours may be in your family. Yours may be in your finances. Nobody knows what God has prepared for those who love him. Here's what the Bible says about that. It says, no eye has seen and no ear has heard, and no tongue can tell what our God has laid up for us. I mean, it's a really big thing. When you meet him and he starts laying things up for you, you're like, oh my goodness. I never dreamed that this could happen to me. And so, Look at this. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in what? Just like Isaiah said 1,000 years ago. See, the Bible just all lines up. It's just always perfect. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because why? There was no room in the inn. Sometimes it's just because there's no room for you. Now there was in the same country shepherds out in their fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said, don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You'll find that baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel with a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth toward who? Toward men. I think the old King James says to all men. So what are some of you saying right now when you're wrapping up your Christmas presents? I've said it, you said it. Oh, I hope I didn't leave anybody out. You got a big family. I hope I didn't leave anybody out. Let me tell you something. Jesus did not leave one person out. Not one out of his plan. Never. Popular saying in America is no soul left behind. No. We leave people behind sometimes, but Jesus didn't. So when the shepherds saw this, look at verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, now let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, that the Lord made known to us. And they came with haste, and they found the baby Joseph and Mary lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So the shepherds had to go out. They didn't have to. But they were so thrilled about what they saw, they went and told everybody. What you and I just saw in New York City, that was astounding. Those people that were on the streets of New York at Christmas time, they will never, ever, ever forget what they saw. And they will tell it. And I want you all to sing that old, old song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, because, church, this is a time where you or I are in a place that we can't hold back what we know. There will be times where you can share it in a certain way. You don't Bible thump people, but it'll just come out the right time, the right place. Go tell it on the mountain. Stand with me this morning, would you?
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is God. Go tell it.
But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her little heart. Now, I added that part little. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her little heart. And then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and they had seen. Everything that was told them. Can I ask you today, remember what I told you? Remember it? And if you can believe it or not, just let it roll over in your heart. Just ponder these words in your heart. And if you don't do it to anybody else, just give him praise today. And at this point, I want us to prepare him a gift. Look. You know, every now and then you buy a gift for somebody and you say, I don't know what to get them. They have everything. Well, what are we going to give to Jesus? My goodness. He's the one that gave us the gift of eternal life. He's got mercy, grace. I mean, he's given all that. But we would never come into his presence without giving him a monetary gift, because you and I function that way as well. But he wants our heart, that he might rebuild it. He wants our minds, that he might restore our troubled minds, that he might transform that mind that is so tore up right now. He wants our hands so that they will work for him. He wants our feet so we'll walk in the right path. Would you pray with me? Close your eyes for just a minute. Dear Jesus, we're going to come to you now in the name of the Lord. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room right now that does not know you, let it be said that on Christmas Eve morning service, somebody gave you their mind to transform it. And they gave you their heart to keep it. Lord, you want our bodies as a living sacrifice, and a whole sacrifice. So we give you our bodies today with our love, our hearts, our minds, our souls. We repent of our sins, our beautiful Savior. May you wrap us in your swaddling clothes all the time and keep us. And though sometimes it looks wrong, whatever somebody's going through right now, it may look wrong, but I pray, Lord, that you will show them that it's all in your plan. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we bring our monetary gift, tithe and offering, to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you bring your best gift to the Lord today on Christmas? We won't be back for Christmas Eve tonight. So go ahead and praise him right now.
Over the hills and everywhere.
I just want to say Merry Christmas to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his face and countenance toward you, and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and your family at Christmas.